Well, good evening, folks. It's another episode of the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and
this is Pauline.
She was over there lip reading. we're dubbing some tapes, and we have the volume turned down on the monitor, and I think Pauline is lip reading, or trying to lip read. Anyway, she's fascinated with what's going on the monitor. Wow, last night's broadcast left me with a lot of unanswered questions after that last 10-minute or 8-minute segment or however many minutes it was long, and it bothered me. It still bothers me. We're going to listen to it again, and then we're going to ask Pauline, because I don't know what she thinks about it, and I asked her earlier, and she said she wasn't sure and she couldn't, you know, she'd like to hear it again. So I'm going to play it again right now. And then we're going to ask Pauline what she thinks about it. And then we're going to open the phones and ask you what you think about it. Because it was just an incredible exchange there of that I still don't understand. It could have been that he was embarrassed. And maybe he just didn't want to admit that that was a dishonest thing to do. And I'm hoping that that's really what it's all about. That's what I hope it was all about. Because if it's not about that, then it's got to be about something really bad. And I don't even want to think about that. So here we go. Let's listen to it again. And then we'll get Pauline's opinion, and then we'll get your opinion on the phone.
But go to the CID office and just ask to speak to the duty agent. And you know, there's a picture of me on the internet, and just bring it in there and give them my website. And, you know, these are people that have the time. I just think that would do enormous amounts of good, because I think there's a lot of agents out there that are good people and they're honest, but they don't know that this is all a scam. And so if people have the time to do that, or know people who have the time, suggest it to them. Get some information off my website.
You know, I don't buy that they're all honest. I just can't buy it, Joe, and I'll tell you why. It's like the police officer who takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and he's never read it in his life. Now, that's not honest. It's bullshit is what it is.
Well, I guess I'm thinking about myself, and that when my first 3 years on the job, I thought I was doing the right thing, and if somebody had come through that door...
But thinking you're doing the right thing and taking an oath to protect and defend a document that you've never read in your life is two different things.
Well,
and
right.
Most people who take that oath have never read it, couldn't tell you anything about it in 100 years except some vague notion of freedom of speech and something like that.
Well, the agents in my office said I knew the Constitution better than anyone, but that was anyone in the office, so I guess that wasn't saying much.
I would venture to say it's probably better than anyone in the entire service. I would venture to say that most of them, there may have been some others besides you that read it, but I would venture to say most of them never even read it, much less knew what it was they were taking an oath to protect and defend. Now, that's not honest, and I can't let you slide by making a statement like that.
Well, but I still say, if there are people that don't know about this, and I think that they...
But, Joe, when you take an oath to protect and defend something, it's a solemn oath. You know you may have to give your life in support of it, and you've never read it, and you don't even take the time to read it or understand it or apply it to your job. Is that honest?
If somebody came through the door and had a picture of me and said, look at this book that he wrote, or look at this report, I think even if it's 5% or
so. Joe, you ducked my question.
Okay, say it again.
If they take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and they've never read it in their life, and after they take the oath, they don't even make an attempt to read it or understand it or apply it to their job, is that honest?
That's the agency as a whole. I wouldn't put that onus on the person themselves.
The person takes the oath. When I took the oath in the military service to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I went and got it and read it.
Well, that's commendable, but I did too, but I was more concerned about the Second Amendment. I didn't read the entire thing, but I think I'm still honest.
But Joe, you took an oath to protect and defend the entire thing. If you didn't read the entire thing and didn't know the entire thing, then the oath was a sham.
I don't really agree. I mean,
you don't agree?
I agree that that people should be as aware as they can of the Constitution, but without reading the entire...
How can you take an oath to protect and defend something you never read and don't understand?
I don't know. How can a citizen be a citizen of the country and not know what it is to be free? I mean, there are people that just...
That's exactly my point. And how can any citizen in this country talk about their rights if they don't even know what they are? If they've never read the Constitution, how can they talk about their understanding of the government if they don't understand the Constitution, which outlines the government and limits it and delineates exactly what it can do and what it can't do?
Well, I mean, and that's why we're both here, is to educate people on it, but I just think there's a difference between somebody being honest and somebody being uninformed. Because
Joe, being uninformed is getting a job and the guy says, you know, you might have to protect the Constitution somewhere down the line, but, you know, we're not going to worry about that right now. Versus taking an oath, raising your hand to take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and you've never read it in your life, don't understand it, don't know what it says, and you don't make any attempt after taking that oath to go and see what it's all about. That's not honest.
The problem is, I think it goes back to the average American who's really apathetic and doesn't fight for their rights. And then they allow
Joe,
an agency.
Joe, you're losing credibility by the second here. You don't understand what I'm talking about here? That if you take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution and you've never read it and don't even make any attempt to read it, and don't understand what it's all about, you're actually telling me on the air here in my listening audience that that's honest? I mean, if you really believe that, then I know where the heart of the problem is.
I guess I don't know how to answer it. I mean, I was honest 3 years ago, and I'm just as honest now.
What is your definition of honesty?
In addition to being honest, I took the time when I have the time to read up on the Constitution. Unfortunately, I didn't learn it in school like I should have. I didn't learn it in training like.
But Joe, you took an oath.
Because I was sleeping through class.
Joe, you took it.
Taught me.
You took an oath. Did the oath mean anything?
I think you can tell that it meant something.
Well, I thought so until we got into this particular subject, and now I'm not sure, because you're telling me that it's okay to take the oath and to protect and defend the Constitution if you never read it, you're not ever going to read it, and you don't understand what it says. You're telling me that that's okay, and that's honest. And
I never said that. What I said was that I am just as honest today as I was 3 years ago. But I'm an honest person that's educated more about what my duties were. Unfortunately, I got educated about what my duties were and what the extent of them was, and I'm not working there anymore.
But don't you think that if an agent takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and he's never read it or understood it in his life, that he needs to get it, read it, and understand it, or else his oath is just nothing but total bullshit?
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Thank you. My God, that was like pulling teeth.
Wow. Did you get the same feeling that I got? He didn't have a clue. And I'll tell you right now, he still has not. You know what I understand from that? To this day, he hasn't read the Constitution. He has never read it And I'm assuming that this attitude that he had here was because he was embarrassed that he's never read it. And I'm sure he was hoping that I wasn't going to ask him any questions about it. He said that he was more concerned about the Second Amendment, and he read that, but he didn't read the Constitution. He admitted it. I don't believe this. This is really weird, folks. I mean, this is some weird stuff. Can you believe that? I mean, who are these people? They go to get a job, and they're required to take an oath before they can have the job. And apparently they're just taking the oath to get the job. The oath means nothing. Because if the oath meant something, they couldn't take it unless they knew what it was they were supposed to protect and defend. How can you protect and defend something if you don't even know what it is? That's like going in to take a job as a police officer and they say, you're going to be a special officer and you have to take an oath. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will protect and defend Susie James.
I will protect and defend Susie James.
For the rest of my natural born life.
For the rest of my natural born life.
I do so swear.
I do so swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
And the guy doesn't know who Susie James is. He makes no attempt to find out who Susie James is. None of the other officers know who Susie James is. What was the point of the oath? And folks, if their oath means nothing, then their marriage vows mean nothing. If their oath means nothing that they take for a job, then their oath in court means nothing. Nothing whatsoever. That's like the Freemasons, when you pin them down about all this, they take solemn oaths that if they betray the secrets of the lodge, they will have their throat cut from ear to ear in one instance, and another instance their stomach slit open and their intestines placed upon a fire of hot coals and burned in front of them alive, and all kinds of things. And you ask them about this, and they say, oh, those are just ceremonies. They don't mean anything. Bullshit. It's an oath. And if that oath doesn't mean anything, then no other oath means anything, including marriage vows, including promises to friends and relatives, including raising your hand in a court of law and taking an oath that you will tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Means nothing. Means nothing. You can't be a grown man or a grown woman who has any honor whatsoever and tell me that one oath means something and another oath doesn't. If it doesn't mean anything, you shouldn't take it. Have no business taking it. So we're going to ask if Pauline, you know, what do you think about all this, Pauline? I still haven't heard her opinion. Come on, get up close to that microphone.
Right. Well, get away from the button.
Don't touch the button.
Well, I totally agree with Bill. I mean, to me and probably to you out there, it was a simple yes or no question, and listening to him go around and around and not answering it made me wonder. And I know after the show, I'm going to be honest, I've never read the Constitution, but you know what? As soon as I can get it from the library, I'm going to check it out and really read it. Or if I can find it anywhere else, I'm going to do it, because that may open my eyes. So I don't know. I still have reservations about him. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Pauline. Well, that took courage to admit in front of me that you've never read the Constitution.
I'll read it.
And here you are working for me. Hey, I'm going to hold you to that.
Oh, I will.
Okay, we'll open the phones now, 520-333-4578, and we'll see what you out there in the listening audience think about this weird stuff. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Carmine from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Carmine from Pennsylvania.
Every law enforcement officer takes an oath to defend the Constitution. The moment they do something against that and they go to court to swear upon any testimony, they're already guilty of perjury.
Yeah, that's what I would say. That's what I would think.
They'll turn around and tell you ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, they took an oath to upheld it, and now they're going to say, well, I never read it. Well, then they're just as guilty.
Yeah. Well, how can you? What I want to know is, how can you take an oath to protect and defend something you don't even know what it is?
it's all relativism. It's look at the thief in chief. He
I like that.
I just made that up.
Thief in chief. I like that.
He swears to uphold the Constitution and does everything he can to break every rule.
He swears to defend the Constitution. No, he swears to uphold the Constitution to the best of his ability. Those are the exact words.
He's a dysfunctional child. I don't know.
Well, how can you hold it up if you don't even know what it is? That's what I'm asking. I don't know if you heard me.
I heard you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty sad. But anybody who is this is the relativism. They try to push it down your throat that nothing means anything anymore.
Well.
And it does mean something.
You better believe it does. If it doesn't mean anything, then what's it all about? Why even have an oath?
And every senator and congressman takes a similar oath.
And if that doesn't mean anything, how do you explain it to your wife when she asks you about your marriage vows?
Right. That means you can just do whatever you want.
And that's exactly what it means.
You're just sharing a dwelling.
Yeah.
And if any children come along in the process, I guess you're sharing them too. Well, a marriage vow to me goes all the way up to heaven, to God.
Sure it does.
So it doesn't mean anything about having a marriage license.
No. Marriage license is another revenue scam to generate some money for whoever the hell gets it.
It's a tax.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, thanks. Good show.
Okay. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. What did you think about that? Weird. I thought it was weird. I still am just really, in fact, I'm upset about it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Jeffrey in New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey in New Orleans.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is because of the question you're asking. What is the evaluation of the man's statement last night about the, quote, honest agents who still enforce this law, even though it's contradicting the Constitution?
Yeah, well, the question really was, how can you take an oath to uphold and defend something that you don't even know what it says? You never read it.
All right.
Never
all
intend
right.
to read it. Don't know anything about it. I mean, and he calls that honest.
All right. The mistake here is, first of all, he doesn't know the definition of honesty. Honesty means being loyal to one's values, to defend one's positions with facts, and to admit mistakes and correct them where possible. The problem with the gentleman involved is that ignorance is not a defense here, and you're absolutely correct in attacking that on that basis. The problem that we face, however, is that, as you know, the Constitution has been so misinterpreted and messed up by the Supreme Court that a lot of our position, the court has thrown back in our face. And so we're in a problem of a runaway court that's not being checked by Congress. But getting back to your primary issue here, the problem with the gentleman is that he is trying to say that ignorant people can be defended in terms of trying to persuade them that where they're wrong. And the joker is that they are not fulfilling their primary function of using their minds to try to find out what's going on. They're substituting ignorance for reason, and that's where they're off base.
Okay.
So I would have to say that in the case of this gentleman, he himself, because he doesn't understand the definition of honesty itself, is trying to claim the virtuous fool, as if the virtuous fool has the value of being loyal to one's values when he doesn't know what his values are. And
yeah,
so the real issue here is that we have to correct him by pointing out that ignorance is not a defense for the kinds of crimes that go on. There are many a young person in Italy who joins the mafia out of ignorance, thinking that he's doing the right thing, and then winds up being a criminal, as you know. So I would have to say, specifically to the question, the man had better go back and check his premises immediately, and then better start asking, what values are these people loyal to, and then why do they continue to do what they do when confronted with the truth?
Yeah.
Now, I have to be away for a week or so, as you know, Bob. When I come back, I'll explain to you more about this independent sub-treasury system, but that's another night and another subject, so I'll let you go at this point.
I understood it. I was just trying to get something over to him.
Right, right. I don't think he grasped it.
No, he doesn't. He thinks the treasury is the same as the Department of the Treasury.
Right, and he doesn't know that what we're trying to do is the system where the government gets out of the bond market so that the bankers are forced to support businesses rather than support government, so that businesses can turn debt into wealth.
Sure.
That's the real purpose of the sub-treasury system. That's why John C. Calhoun and John Tyler founded it in 1841, and that's why we had the development of the rich families that we have, or had until the rise of the Federal Reserve Bank, which changed everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get off the line, let other people talk, and I'll be coming back about a week or so after that trip and let you know what happened in Utah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it sounded to me like Joe was trying to tell me that he was honest because he took the oath to protect and defend the Constitution, but he didn't know that he should have read it. And so that makes him honest. But he took the oath under false pretenses. You can't protect and defend something that you don't know anything about, don't intend to know anything about, and will never know anything about. And he still doesn't know anything about it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
In Joe's defense, I'll bet anything, Joe just didn't see that as an honesty issue. He never said it was okay. In fact, he said it was absolutely not okay. But a fellow could take an oath to defend the Constitution, say, I don't care what it says, I believe in America, I'll defend it, and there'd be no misrepresentation. I think he, who Joe was seeing, if you get a chance to talk it over with him, I'll bet you find out he just didn't see it as an honesty issue. He didn't okay it in any way. He agreed it was reprehensible and a wicked and horrible thing to do.
Well, I agree with you. That's probably exactly what he thought.
But it was a dishonesty issue. I don't think you guys disagreed on very much.
But he also admitted that to this day, he still hasn't read it.
That's a separate issue. That's okay. He better read it fast, and I'll bet he will.
I bet after last night.
Anyway, I don't think you guys are disagreeing on all that much. I'm not so sure it is a dishonesty issue. It's a different issue, and I think that's what he had in mind. Anyway, in his defense, that's my two bits worth.
Well, I'd have to argue with you on that, too. If you take an oath to protect and defend something, And you don't know what it is, then that's not an oath. That's a sham.
But that's not an honesty issue. There's no misrepresentation, Bill.
Yes, there is. You're taking an oath to
yeah, but you don't. Nobody's represented that you know what's in it. I mean, it's an awful thing to do. Don't get me wrong. I just say that in the back of his mind, he said, I've not been dishonest.
No, you're wrong. See, it's an oath that can't be fulfilled. Therefore, it's dishonest from the very taking of the oath.
Well, what's the misrepresentation? That's an essential characteristic of dishonesty.
The misrepresentation is that you're inferring by taking the oath that you know what the Constitution is, what it says, what it represents, and what you can do and what you can't do.
Well, I'd have to argue with you on that. I can see idiots taking oaths.
We're not talking about idiots.
We're not talking about idiots.
We're not talking about idiots. We're not talking about idiots. We're talking about grown men, intelligent people.
Yeah,
who have to pass a test and be reasonably intelligent to be able to take the job. And to raise your hand and take an oath that you'll protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, when you know, when you take that oath, that you have no idea what the Constitution says or what's in it, is dishonest. It's a lie on the face of it. It's a misrepresentation all the way.
Well, I have to argue with you on it, but that's beside the point. I'm just saying, I think, I'll bet you anything you'll find Joe's heart was in the right place on the issue, and he was stuck on the same argument that I'm stuck on.
What you're saying is it's okay to take the marriage vows.
If
you don't know anything about what the marriage vow means.
No, it isn't okay. It's a horrible thing to do.
It's a misrepresentation. And
God love you for pointing this thing out, because it's one of the fundamental problems in this whole country with law enforcement.
And it's dishonest.
It's not the fundamental problem.
It's dishonest. It's dishonest to the woman or the man with whom you're entering into marriage, and it's dishonest with the public who expects you to know and understand and respect your oath.
Well, I respect respect your position, and I'll bet you anything. I hope Joe's listening, because I think he was trying to be honest with you. I think he just didn't see it as an honesty issue.
I think you got the same problem Joe has. You don't understand what honesty means. You have to have some standards.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, let's off the air, I will fax you a proper definition.
You can fax.
We haven't got time to play around, which neither one of us do. We can settle the issue based on what a definition is and what a definition isn't.
Well, I'm sorry, you'll never get away with that with me. It's dishonest to take an oath which you don't even know what the oath means or how to carry it out. It's absolutely dishonest. You can fax me 500 million, 1,000 pieces of paper. It's still dishonest.
Well,
it's a lie.
If
you don't understand why, then there is no way that I could spend 500 hours on this radio and explain it to you. If you don't have the basic values that it takes to understand why that's dishonest, then I can't explain it to you. Nobody can. You are incapable of understanding it.
Okay, now that's the worst you can say for Joe, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's about the worst you could say for Joe.
I didn't attack Joe. In fact, I said that I think that maybe the whole reason that this whole thing occurred is maybe he was embarrassed because he never read the Constitution and didn't want to have to admit it, which he finally did.
Well, that too is a possibility. But I'm glad you guys were patient with each other, because that was an invaluable program.
Well, I have to be patient with somebody who's laid everything on the line like he has.
Yeah.
You know? He's not like some yahoo that calls in here and doesn't deserve that kind of treatment. He's put his whole self and family and career and everything on the line.
Yeah, damn right. I'll get off of here and let some other people call in and get their 2 bits worth. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Oh, there's a basic problem here, folks. I heard it in that caller. There's a basic lack of foundation of values and moral principles in this country. The people can't understand the basic premise that taking an oath, which you have no ability to fulfill, is dishonest. Because you know when you take the oath, you can't fulfill it. You don't know anything about it. And don't intend to know anything about it. That's dishonest. It's crazy.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Maybe the problem is that people, not necessarily us, but people think of the Constitution as being the same as the flag. Run it up on the pole and it waves around, and that means the United States. Flag flies around on the pole and that means the United States. And I think when people take that oath, they say, I pledge to defend the Constitution of the United States. What they think is, well, that represents the United States, and like they pledge allegiance to the flag, and it goes in one ear and out the other, because they don't think of that what they should pledge is or swear to protect and defend the content of the Constitution of the United States, or Constitution of the United States and what it means. Those words aren't in it, in the pledge, and so due to the dumbing down maybe of America, maybe that's not exactly it, but they just accept it as a representation, like the flag.
So Susie James is just a representation of all the women on the street.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I can see how some people can be, you know, totally dumbed down to the point where they might think that way. And you might be absolutely right. I hope not.
Well, what we got to hope is that we can get more people curious enough to say, hey, if you made a pledge to that, have you read it? Or have you read it lately? And why not see what it is that you really want to protect and defend, and attack them that way, and just get people thinking, and get police to think, well, gee, I haven't read it. Maybe I better read it, because I've already pledged. And certainly a good thing that we can work on to get them thinking about the kind of rights.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody else said once before, ask politicians how they stand on Bill of Rights enforcement or constitutional enforcement.
They never read it either.
Yeah, well, that might get them thinking, what's in the Bill of Rights? Maybe they learn to read and find out the things that they've heard about the Bill of Rights, like the so-called separation of, and that sort of thing, and they find out that it's not really there. It might be might be very helpful just to get people to read it.
I've been trying for 4 years to find out who wrote NAFTA, and I still can't find out. It wasn't anybody in Congress. I found that out.
Oh, I bet you it wasn't one person either, not with all those words.
Yeah, and I bet you they had to work on it for at least 15 years because it weighs about 360 pounds. All that legislation.
Can you imagine those think tanks slaving away to write that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Oh, my God. You see how far we've gone? The Founding Fathers would never have thought this way. They would never have thought that, we need to try and convince them to read it if they took the oath. They would never have dreamed of taking an oath without having read it and studied it. They would never have dreamed of taking an oath without having read it and studied it and understood it first before they ever went in to take an oath. Now we're talking about they've already taken the oath, committed themselves, and now we got to try to get them to read it.
Well, I know I'm going to.
520-333-4578 is the number. Most people, I've always said it on this broadcast, I'll continue to say it, most people have never read the Constitution and maybe never will. But until they do, they know absolutely nothing about the United States of America, the government under which they live, how it's supposed to work, what the limitations are, what their rights are, what the restrictions on government are, what their powers are. They don't know any of those things. 520-333-4578. You want to take this call, Pauline?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, am I on?
Yep.
Oh, how are you doing?
Pretty good, you?
Oh, pretty good. Say, talking about oaths?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have something I can relate. A few years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who was in the Sheriff's Department, and we were talking about the Constitution. And he said, as far as they're concerned, it basically doesn't exist and doesn't mean anything. And we were talking about the oaths and that sort of thing, so they just kind of, I guess, do whatever they feel like, it seemed to me.
Was that a department policy, or was that his policy?
He didn't specify on that.
And you didn't follow it up? I mean, that would have just, you got a subversive force right there running your county.
Well, that's not what I thought. But I thought, I was in the military.
That's, in fact, that's treason.
Oh, sure.
That's just out-and-out treason.
Right. Because I was in the military, I took the oath, and I realized the importance of it. And then other people take the oath, basically the same kind, and they just kind of push it out to the side and don't think anything of it.
What would make him say that they don't recognize the Constitution, they don't care anything about it?
It's just a job. Probably. Who knows?
Well, it's a good thing he didn't say that to me.
Yeah.
Because I'd have had to slap his ears off, take his gun away, stick it in his ear, and march his butt right down and lock him in his own jail. For all you law enforcement people out there that think for one second I couldn't do it if I thought you were guilty of treason, don't ever try me. Don't ever try me, because I damn sure can. And I got the cojones to do it, too. I am really sick of this. I'm sick of the treason and the tyranny in this country. I am livid, angry. I can't understand how people can be so stupid.
Well, it's not hard to see why it's going the way it is.
I bet those same sheriff deputies go home and bitch every night about how bad the country is and how everything's going to pot, too. Jeez.
Yeah, more than likely.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
Well...
Boy, you got my blood boiling.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Where's my pistol, Pauline? I'm going to get that guy.
But, like I was going to say before, I was in the military, and we took the oath and all that sort of thing. And then after seeing how our military is being used around the country, which did not have anything to do with what the oath said that we took, I realized this wasn't right. And I decided that I wasn't going to have any more of it, and I did my 20 years and got out.
Good for you. Good for you. That's what I did when I found out that what was really going on.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, if everything was being done perfectly, I'd still be in right now.
Well, I would do. It was going to be my whole life.
So I just hope there's a lot more people out there that think the same way.
Well, it's going to be a war. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
At this point, I firmly believe,
I don't want to believe it, but this is what I see and this is what I hear. I firmly believe that this is going to be settled with the force of arms. And I hate that, but that's what I see and that's what I hear all over this country.
Yeah, not a good option.
No, it's not. But what can you do? And it's the only option left.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're dealing with a great herd of stupid sheeple out there who don't know dip about anything.
Yeah, that's true.
And they come up to me and they say, "Well, yeah, I'm so sick of those politicians in Washington, D.C. And I look at them and I say, "What's going on in your city council?" "Oh, I don't know." What's the major legislation up for passage in your state house?" "Oh, I don't know." "Well, you know, how come you got your head in Washington, D.C.? You don't even know what's going on in your backyard."
They're just collecting the check, that's all.
They're not even.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Right, thank you.
520-333-4578. I can't believe this, folks. This is sick. This country may be on its deathbed, you know. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill, it's Tim.
Hi, Tim.
You know, I think I got a good way to fix all that.
Get your arm out from around me, Pauline. Pauline, stop hugging on me like that.
Hey, now watch it over there. You know, if they would make that mandatory for...
Pauline's husband, folks.
Hello, everybody. If they would make that Constitution mandatory material before they take their oath, read the whole thing, and then when they say their pledge, that might clear up a little problem.
Well, you're right, Tim, but I think it goes way back before that. I don't think anybody should be allowed to graduate from school unless they memorized it.
I remember when I used to take the Pledge of Allegiance, and now look what they're doing. They're taking it out of school. You're very right on that.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4570. Pauline's over here just blushing and laughing.
You're going to get me in trouble.
He knows better than that. Okay, here we go. You're on the air. Good evening.
Greetings, Bill. How are you?
Good.
Good. I hear you are in rare form tonight, and I thank you for the wake-up call. And let me say very succinctly that to take an oath and not know what you're taking it for, not understanding at all, and you're steady enforcing these draconian laws, and you're violating people's rights, and you're supposed to be, and you don't know, how can you excuse that?
That's right.
And I heard last night, I took the time to watch The Wizard of Oz by myself, and I watched that, and she came across the scarecrow, and he carried on that he had no brain.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "How can you talk if you have no brain?" He said, "Well, there are a lot of people doing a lot of talking that have no brain." He said, "I guess you were right." And they went on to seek the wizard.
Uh-huh.
And I guess everybody else is going on to seek the wizard because they don't think they have what they've already been given.
Yeah, people don't understand that movie has such depth of meaning and so many valuable lessons to it.
Oh, so many. And I've been listening to it now for 40 years. And I watched it, and everybody in my household was puzzled, "Why are you watching that?" And I began to understand. And it has a lot of depth to it.
Yeah.
But I won't carry on. I just want to say that it is dishonest in the true sense of the word to take an oath and not know what you are taking it about.
Well, by golly, it's good to hear somebody that really understands that.
That's as plain as day to me. And even though I've done the same thing, I'm ex-military. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed my job. I flew heavy jets.
Uh-huh.
So I got around the world, had a good time in the performance of a mission, my duty, so I thought. I took the same oath. But when I found out what was happening, when I read the Constitution, when I found out what the oath was about, that's when I could no longer perform with 6 years left to retirement. Only 6 years, and I would have been retired maybe about 5 years now.
Yeah, well, you did the same thing I did. I only had 5 years to go when I left.
So I just turned it loose, and everybody was amazed. I said, "I can't carry this on anymore. This doesn't make sense."
Good for you.
So I'm doing fine, too.
Well, good for you.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
You have my admiration and respect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Peace.
520-333-4578. Absolutely, it's dishonest. It's wrong. And by the way, you heard what he said about the Wizard of Oz. I've used that on this broadcast many times to teach you some lessons. And if you sit down and watch that movie, you'll start to see things you never saw before. And you can never watch it enough. Frank Baum was trying to tell us something without saying it out in the open so they'd come along and kill him. Everybody's looking for the wizard to solve all their problems. And at the end of the movie, you'll always see that, the solution was in themselves. The wizard didn't give them anything. The wizard didn't solve their problems. He just rearranged their brain cells. So they looked at it a little differently. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, that's like that, the man is behind the curtain there, where they say pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That's that big federal government, you see.
Yeah.
Working all the gadgets behind there and things. And
that's what I've been trying to tell you. Don't be scared of that big monster.
That's right.
It's just a bunch of little scared people.
Absolutely.
Pulling strings behind the curtain.
Right, and I think this is all an educational process. Mr. Bannister, I'm sure you got a good share of that the other night, last night. And I was happy for him because he had an open mind to it, and that's very important when we're educating these people. I've interviewed officers on the police force who don't know the Constitution, who told me straight out that with the government we have in place now, it's not necessary for individuals to own or possess firearms. And I got sick because I heard that. And you know, for the next two nights, I traveled around and beat with him and talked to him and things like that. And the next week, he sticked his other cop on me, and they did it because he didn't like the idea of being told his job, you see. He didn't know what the Constitution was. It was a threat to him because that was interfering with his mindset. But really, that's the New World Order mindset on these officers. This is what they firmly believe, which is nothing.
Now, what you did was you chopped about 8 inches off of his ruler.
Absolutely. I'd like to chop 8 inches.
And so he felt much smaller.
That's very true.
So to speak.
Now, that same oath I also took, and I served in Korea and Vietnam in both theaters, and I didn't read the Constitution myself. So it was 20 years before I came back, before I was able to read the Constitution and understand what it also meant. So I can understand the place where these people are at when they hold their hands up and take that oath, and they think that's just like a little Boy Scout oath or something that they can probably get by on until they read the manual.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that particular mindset also.
Let me tell you when I left the Navy. I left the Navy right after I was on the USS Oriskany, CVA 34, which is an attack aircraft carrier. And I was the petty officer in charge of the bridge. I was the leading navigation petty officer, and I had a top secret clearance. The navigator, who had just made Captain Doherty, he was a commander before that, Captain Doherty, sent me down to the comm center to pick up a top secret message. So I went down there and picked it up and brought it up to the bridge. And en route, I read it. And it said, upon receipt of this message, you will no longer accept any orders from the White House. When I handed it to Captain Doherty, remember, he was the navigator. He was not the captain of the ship. I asked him, what are you going to do about this? Because this is unconstitutional. The Joint Chiefs of Staff are telling you to disobey the orders of the President of the United States should you receive any. He looked at me, and he says, Cooper, we'll wait and see if we receive any orders from the President, and then we'll determine what we will do at that time. Well, I knew as well as he did, is that the military controlled all the communications, including all the communications from the White House to the forces afield and forces afloat. And so there wasn't going to be any communications from the White House. And a few days later, President Nixon announced his resignation. It was a military coup. And I was up for reenlistment. And I told them what I thought about them and their treason, and I left the Navy. That's when I left.
Good for you, Mr. Cooper. You stood by your guns. I can appreciate that. Also, I'd like to say this. On Wednesday's program, I think when you had the call-in questions, This is Helix from Detroit.
It was Tuesday.
No, Tuesday night. I had a call-in question, and it wasn't asked, and I'd like to know why you edited myself out if you didn't.
I didn't edit anything out. I played every question exactly in the order that they came. There were just so many questions, we didn't get through them all.
I see. I understand.
If you don't believe me, send some money to Pauline, and we'll send you a copy of the tape of the questions, and you'll see that your question is still there, right in the same order. They're all in the exact same order that they were called in.
I've checked you out, sir. Everything you say, I believe.
Well, we could have gotten to it if we didn't have to keep asking.
Yeah.
Mr. Bannister,
Pauline, did I edit anything out?
No, you didn't.
Okay. Yeah, the question was for Mr. Bannister, even though I don't think he could have answered it, and that was one. How many people, in his opinion, were not paying income tax to the IRS? And two, how many people, in his opinion, would it take for the IRS to cave in on itself once we didn't pay that tax?
Well, I can't answer that either. All I know is there's about 60 million Americans every year that do not file income tax returns.
Okay. I thank you for your time, Mr. Cooper.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578. Folks, if I give you my word, I never, ever will in my life ever go back on it. If I gave you my word, I would take your questions, and I would ask them in the order that they came in. That's exactly what I did. We just didn't get through all the questions, and Mr. Bannister can't come back for a while. He's got other commitments. Okay, I think we have another call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, I had listened to this part that you played tonight. I didn't hear it last night, but... even though you came down pretty hard on the guy and wouldn't let him off the hook, which I'll commend you for, Ashley, I have just one thing to say concerning his credibility. This man was a CPA. That's the next thing to a lawyer. They're well-read. They study and study and study, and the man's probably read the whole entire Internal Revenue Code book. I am a high school dropout, and I've read the Constitution throughout at least twice in my life, maybe more. There's no excuse for it.
No, there's not. It's not very long. It's not hard to read, and it's not hard to understand. It's very short, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it is.
It wouldn't even make up half a chapter in most books.
Right. And, I'm not a great conversationalist. I just wanted to make that point and get it across, and I'll let you move on or comment on it, whatever you want to do.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir.
And by the way, folks, I was not trying to belittle Joe Bannister. In fact, his comment shocked me. I just couldn't let it get by. It was too astounding. I was too surprised by it. I couldn't figure out how an intelligent man could say such a thing. And I just couldn't let it go by. So I wasn't trying to belittle him or demean him or demean him or anything like that. All I was trying to do was to find out if he really didn't understand the dishonesty in that act. And if he didn't, then that could go right to the heart and soul of most of the problems we have with people in government. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
In Missouri, here where we live, our kids are taught the Missouri Constitution as well as the United States Constitution.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
And they cannot graduate without passing a test on the Constitution.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, too. I was not aware of that. Most states, in most schools, they don't teach anything like that anymore.
I know, but we have some really good teachers here right now, and they try to educate the kids as to what is really going on, which I think is really good because children that age in high school don't listen to their parents too much.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were talking about kids.
I'm talking about in high school. I think they have to master the Missouri.
But you were talking about teaching kids the Constitution, then you switched over and you were talking about children graduating. Which is it?
They cannot graduate if they can't pass the test.
Which ones? The children or the kids?
The children.
Oh, okay.
The children.
Okay.
We don't allow goats in school.
Good for you.
I'm sorry. I hate that one, too, when you call them kids. But the children are taught it. Whether they can go home and get it across to their parents is another story.
Yes, it is. But they're going to inherit the future. And if they don't know how to control the future so that it will be a good one for them, and if they don't have a handle on how things are supposed to be,
right,
then they're going to be victims of the people who can manipulate the future because of their ignorance.
Well, our city council members have to, when they get put in place, they have to take an oath to support the Constitution, and I know not one of those four people knows what the Constitution means.
Well, you know what? You ought to go to a meeting next time they have a public meeting. Go there and take the podium and put it bluntly to them. Ask them some questions about the Constitution. And when they're embarrassed because they can't answer it, say, that's funny. Every one of you ladies and gentlemen sitting on this board here took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. I find it absolutely unacceptable that you don't know anything about it. You can't even answer a simple question regarding that document.
Well, that would be fun.
Shame them right in front of the public.
Well, there's no public in us. I'm the only guest, usually.
Really? Nobody goes to the meetings?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody cares. It's like everybody has the feeling, well, the government's going to do whatever they want to do, no matter what. No matter if it's illegal or not.
I was going to say I rest my case, but in the light of all of this, there really isn't any case to rest, is there?
Really? It's sad. I mean, we live in a very, very small town, 600 people.
Uh-huh.
And I can see how crooked our government is in this city. And so you think, oh, my God, if it's this bad here, what is it like in Washington, D.C.?
Well,
it really makes you think there is no hope.
I can tell you exactly what's wrong with Washington, D.C. The whole bunch of 6-inch men walking around with 48-inch rulers.
And too many lobbyists.
Yeah, they're selling the rulers.
Yeah, they're really giving them away, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to call and say that.
They're really 6 inches long. They're just divided into 48-inch increments.
We enjoy your show, and we try to listen every night. And I just wanted to say that, well, I homeschooled my kids. My children, too, before they got into the high school.
Good for you. I bet they were smarter than most of the other children.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yes. And they're doing well, all of them.
Good.
I don't think I made a mistake by doing it.
No, you never make a mistake by homeschooling your children.
They have, they had self-esteem when they went to school. They had not been put down constantly like they...
Oh, yeah, because it's not right to be smarter than the other children. You might hurt their self-esteem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sick. Okay. It's really sick.
Yeah, so I put them in public school when they got into high school, and they've all done well.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
So, anyway, I guess that's about all I want to say.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate
Bye.
It very much. 520-333-4578 is the number. Amazing. Well, Pauline, you can take this call if you want to.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill and Pauline. Great show.
Thank you.
One thing I wanted to add was this. Even people raised with the best families in military families, the siblings and the ordinary people, they still fight you. They don't want to know the Constitution, and they don't want to stand up for your rights. And you know the government doesn't care about going out of its way to stand up for your constitutional rights.
No, because everybody is so comfortable, they don't think in a million years that anything bad can happen to them. And they're fixing to have the whole sky fall on their head here within the next few years.
Well,
they're not only going to be hurt, they're going to be devastated, just literally devastated. You'll see people walking down the middle of the road with a blank look on their face, absolutely insane because of the collapse of the world that they've known. The New World Order is going to be very cruel, very cruel.
But knowing these people from small towns a lot, Bill, they're arrogant underneath. I'm picturing, you know, this woman talking about the local politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You try to tell them about the Constitution, they're just going to take an arrogant attitude back because...
That's what she said.
Like you said yourself, even in school, they don't want you to be outsmarted than the other kids. And the same thing with adults.
Yeah, that's why they don't grade anymore.
And so we have the problem of arrogance among our own... well-educated people.
It's not arrogance. It's stupidity.
Oh, wait a minute now, Bill. These people are smart. They're educated.
They're stupid. who can be educated and still be stupid.
Well,
the definition of stupid is not being without an education. It's mentally crippled. Mentally crippled. You can have the best education in the world, and if you're mentally crippled, you can be stupid. And they are.
Okay, Bill. Now, take this slowly here. I know, for instance, you know, many people have a good education, and they're good analytically.
Education has nothing to do with stupid.
But they still do not want to delve into the Constitution and understand the Bill of Rights.
They're mentally crippled. They don't understand the importance of it. They don't understand that that's the only thing that protects them from a Hitler, from slave labor camps.
Right, okay.
They don't understand it. In that sense, they're mentally crippled, right. And that makes them stupid.
I agree. You're right. They are stupid at that level. But when you try to slowly proceed and show them logically that, yes, this is leading to just what you're saying, then they are arrogant, and they say something to cut off the conversation or get arrogant and nasty.
Well, yeah, that's because at that point, they're getting scared.
Okay.
And they don't want to be scared.
All right, but why won't you call them arrogant?
Because they're stupid. I call it what it is.
Okay.
And if I call it arrogant, a lot of people think that that's really neat. If I tell them they're stupid, they get upset about that. It might make them go check it out, you know, because they really are. They're stupid. In this country, this kind of behavior is stupid. The founding fathers, I even hate to think what the founding fathers would do with these people, what they would say to them.
Bill, don't you think that some of the founding fathers, a lot of them were lawyers, and they kind of didn't Washington, all these guys, gave us the independence. But then they turned around and signed treaties to pay back the British or be buddy-buddy with the British again.
They never signed any treaties that were unconstitutional. Never.
Well,
that didn't happen until later. There are no unconstitutional treaties signed by the founders.
No unconstitutional treaties?
No.
All right.
Not signed by the founders, no. It's not illegal to pay back Britain if we owed them money. We stole a lot of land that belonged to them. I would assume that we owe them something.
Okay, I'll let you go. Maybe that could be discussed a little bit further, because I think a lot of people, patriots, believe that the founding fathers end up going back with treaties, and that's what got us in trouble.
Let me tell you something. I know a lot of those patriots, and most patriots are just as stupid as everybody else. They haven't got the slightest conception of what patriotism really means. For most of them, it's the church has to rule this country.
Say, there's some law.
We're out of time.
Okay.
I hate to tell you that, but we're
okay, Bill. Have a good week.
You too.
Bye.
Yes, sir. Bye, Cracky. Good night, folks.
Good night. Thank you for calling.
God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Behind, something's not right.
Pull out your arms. Things can walk past. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Serve your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Can't produce your head to you when you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying hit the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar of right, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white programs. Agitation.
Nobody left. You're surrounded. By the UN in white and gray. The ATF, the men in black, from the One World Order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination, biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says their health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Or who? Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots, it's crisis creation. Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of healthcare benefits that are always there and can never be taken away. Never be taken away.
Atmospheric, social illusion, media hype, planned confusion, Masonic religion, it's a liar. Not your praying for a Luciferian Messiah.